Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Everybody, Joshua chapter 1. Man. I know you've looked at Joshua chapter 1 for, you know, a lot. This church was birthed out of Joshua. The book of Joshua. But today I want to springboard from Joshua chapter 1 to what he has in store for us. We're going to read this, and then after that, we're going to do our scripture memory. You all still remember? Okay, just one verse. Verse 13. Joshua 1. Let's read this together. 1, 2, go. Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Amen. This year is the year of discipleship. All right, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things. The Lord reminded me of Joshua chapter 1, again. And I said, God, you know, Joshua chapter 1 again. and I said, read on. So, he highlighted to me verse 13. You know, one of the things that Joshua, let's go back to that. Joshua told the Reubenites, the Gadites, half tribe of Manasseh, okay? Here's the story. Now, these tribes, were given their place before they crossed into the land. That means on the other side of the river. All right, so that's their land given to them. All right, and as they were going to go across, Joshua reminded them of what Moses had commanded. He says, you know, God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Alright, but then he goes on to say that, hey, you need to cross over and help your brothers. Okay, I want to read the whole of Joshua chapter 1. I know we have read this many times, but just to refresh our memory a little bit, but keeping in mind this whole idea of entering into the promised land, entering into God's rest. Okay, after the death of Moses, I'm reading from the ESV. Thank you. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land I'm giving to them and to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now we've just been singing about this, right? Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are going to pass over this Jordan and go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses, in all things we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So here's the story. They are about to enter the promised land, but these tribes already have land allocated to them. And the background of it, we already read, you know, Moses is gone and they are preparing to go in. Today I would like us to think about this whole idea of rest as well as what the Lord has called us to do. Now, rest in the land, right? All of us need rest at some point of time, right? When you think of rest, what are you thinking of? Some people rest means food, rest. I don't know how that works, but you know, let's go for a rest, you know, then they find the best restaurant that is. For some people, rest means go to sleep. Others, rest means, you know, go to the special room. They call the rest room, right? That's my peace, you know. They go to work every morning and they say, I don't know whether you do this. You go to work and say, okay, I need my rest time. Then you go to this rest room and you lock yourself there for half an hour. Some people even do their quiet time there. I don't know. And then after that, you know, that's my rest from work for just a couple of minutes. No trouble. Peace. No worry. For most people, that's what rest means. But if you look at this passage, right, Moses reminds these tribes, he says, you know, God's giving you rest. God is going to give you rest. This land, this part of the land has been allocated to you. But then he goes on to say, wait a minute, okay, your wives, your children, stay back, but all you men of valor, all you men who can fight, you're going to go in. In fact, before that, Moses, the Lord tells Joshua, okay, this is it. You're going to enter the promised land. That land is a land representing, you know, God's promise and a land representing God's rest upon their lives. You're going to go in and rest after your long travel, 40 years around the wilderness, right? You're going to go in. But think of this, they are not going to go in, you know, make their bed, plonk down and say, okay, let's rest. That was not the idea. Rest was in store, but yet, there was this conquering. There was this battle. There was work that needed to be done before rest could come. Today I want to talk about two things as we think about the year of discipleship. And sometimes we think, hey, you know, we've been serving, we've been, you know, been toiling, and we need rest. How many of you need rest? Yes, lah. God gives us rest. And every day, we need to find rest in the Lord, right? But two things I'd like us to think about as we think about what is at hand. Firstly, Joshua reminds these tribes, the tribe of Reuben, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and Manasseh. Rest given to you. But before you really enjoy that, you guys, let's cross the river. Let's go in. Let's help all your brothers and sisters, the other Israelites, right? To take the land. Now, the logical question is this. How long? How long? No answer given, you know. Joshua says, let's go in. All you guys, all you men of valor, let's go in and we're going to partner with all the other tribes and help them conquer the land for how long? Until we are done. Until the work is finished. Then you all go back home. So rest is given, is promised, but yet at the same time, what Joshua is saying, we need to be united in the extension of what God wants to do in our lives. We need to be together so that we can, you know, encourage one another, build one another up, and partner with each other so that we together can have rest. Can you imagine the Reubenites, the Gadites, this half tribe of Manasseh says, hey, wait a minute, this is our land, right? You allocated to us, right? And this is our space, right? And, you know, this is all for us, and that's all for you guys. You guys carry on, just go ahead. We'll be good here. Thank you very much. The land is conquered. Thanks for helping us conquer the land. Now you guys are on your own. How do you think the rest of the Israelites would feel? Because, you know, they helped these tribes conquer the land as well, right? God has called us here in this church. God has given us specific calls. There are, you know, different areas of ministry that He has placed in each one of us, different burdens that He has placed in each one of us. And yet at the same time, we cannot say, hey, that's you lah. This is us. We are together. The Lord has called us to be united together as one body, encouraging one another, helping one another. Even though, you know, sometimes our ministry, when I say our, I mean certain ministries as opposed to other ministries, certain ministries seems to be, you know, easier going, not so stressful. Whereas other ministries, oh, tall, haven't come to that place of rest yet. God is saying, let's be united together. So today I want us to think about two things. Number one, the unity that we have in the call that God has placed before us. A lot of times it's so easy to think, oh, that's children's ministry. Oh, that's, you know, sports ministry. Oh, that's the youth line, you know. That's, you know, the old folks are, you know, that's the young adults are. Yeah. Every ministry has their own set of challenges. Every ministry has. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is this: how are we partnering with one another across the board, across the room? So that together we move towards what God has in store for us. Unity. The second thing that is very evident from this passage is urgency. So today, I'd like us to think about two things. One, unity. Number two, urgency. You read this passage, there seems to be, you know, points of urgency repeated over and over and over again. The Lord says to Joshua, Moses is dead. You're next. In fact, if you read verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. There is a sense of urgency there. Moses is dead. Right now, arise. And then he gives Joshua the command and the promise. Go. Take the land from here to there, there to there, you know. That's where you're going to go in. Every place, your footsteps, I'm going to give it to you. So go. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, and so on and so forth. There is a sense of urgency. And Joshua turns to the officials and says, hey, get ready. 3 days' time, you're going in. Again, he repeats that sense of urgency. We've got to go in now. Everybody, get your supplies, get your provision. There is a sense of urgency. We have to move within 3 days. Turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. This is the story of Jesus healing a man that was born blind. We read from verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So there's this man that was born blind. And upon coming to him, the disciple says, hey, what, you know, let me ask you a theological question here. All right. What happened? Who sinned? This man or the parents that caused him to be blind? And Jesus' answer is this, not important. What's important is that God be glorified. This is so that God might be glorified, that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, a lot of times we ask questions that got no answer one. We can come up with answers and we can speculate. Yeah, father, bad guy. So that's why the son born blind. Or, you know, son, when he was in the womb, must have been very naughty, therefore come out blind. And, you know, all these things that we cook up. Hey, what happened to me? How come my job, you know, I'm in this situation that, you know, that doesn't seem to be favorable? Must be this, 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 this. What happened to my grades? I worked very hard. But, you know, something else turned out. Is God trying to punish me? What about this particular situation? What about that particular situation? And we can come up with, you know, our life story of 101 situations where things are not favorable, and that we can ask questions upon questions upon questions, which sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes has, and once we don't have answers, we start to move from, you know, a situation that is, that seems negative, ask question, no answer, then the next, you know what the next thing we do? We start to blame. Oh, must be the parents, that's why this guy's got blind, born blind. And we start blaming the parents for this situation. We start blaming our bosses for this particular situation. We start blaming, you know, whatever. We start blaming God for the situation that we are in. But here, Jesus says, not this man, not the parents, neither have sinned. But here's the purpose. God is to be glorified so that God can be glorified. Now, if you think about that, and you think about the situations that you're in right now, why this? Why that? Why like that? Why like, you know, I mean, I'm sure you have, lah. And you're searching for an answer. Can I give you an answer? So that God can be glorified. How can we live our lives having this attitude? Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. Having this attitude that in all circumstances, God needs to be glorified. God can be glorified. And so Jesus said, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. That phrase alone talks about the urgency of what needs to be done. Now is day and night is coming. When night comes, you can't work anymore. And it's interesting here. The disciples are there. You know, Jesus is walking. He sees this blind man that's born blind. And he does a miracle, right? It's interesting to note that Jesus did not say, I need to do all this while I'm still here. Because after a while, I'll be gone, right? He said, we. He said, we must work the works of Him who sent me. We must work the works of Him. Who is that? Who sent me? God the Father. We must continue what God wants to do while it is still day. It's not about me, it's about us. Here again, there is this picture of working together, unity. There is no time to sit down and argue why this man was born blind. There's no time to do that right now. Let's do the work. We need to be united and we need to see the urgency behind it. In the different areas of our lives, whether we are at work, school, college, ministry, God gives us opportunities. John chapter 9 says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. So Jesus was walking by, and he saw an opportunity. Move towards that opportunity. The disciples came and says, hey, what's happening? You know, let me ask you this problematic question. And Jesus says, wait a minute, opportunity, did you not see it? We got to do something about it. My challenge for us today is this. As we think about the year of discipleship, go and make disciples, right? First of all, we need to be discipled, right? Yet at the same time, there are opportunities out there. We have just started the first cycle. Season 1 going to end. Season 2 beginning next month. Of our discipleship program, right? And what we have done is, we say this. Okay, you and you and you and you, you know, one discipleship group. You and you and you, another discipleship, you know. And the church is doing this. Alright? For some groups, they said, hey, keep us for one more season, can or not? You know, we need to carry on. But yeah, at the same time, while we do this, can I encourage us? Don't just do what the church says, hey, this is what you have to do. Do it, okay? But do more than that, because opportunities are there. When you walk into your office, there's an opportunity to say, hey, would you like to have lunch with me for the next 6 weeks? I belanja lah, never mind. And at the same time, you know, go through some devotional material or something like that. Opportunity. Why? Because there is an urgency behind it. And while you're doing that, share that with someone, because there needs to be a united front. Knowing that so-and-so is meeting up with, you know, his or her colleague and every Monday, and let's be united. If we cannot be there, let's be in prayer. There is an urgency. In the sports arena, I know we are very big on sports. And many things going on with the sports scene. Opportunities are everywhere. Up on the stands, in the court, during training, opportunities. If you're not in sports, wherever you are, opportunities. Again, I say, Jesus, John chapter 9, as he was walking, he saw. Can it be, as you're going to school, you saw, stop, and glorify the Lord? One of the things that we started off with, we haven't been talking about that a lot in the last couple of months, is our, you know, tagline. When we started the church, we said one of the things that we wanted to do, our tagline is making God famous. What is that? That's basically saying, I want to give God glory. That's basically saying, oh, whatever, wherever I go, you know, when the opportunity comes, I want to make God famous. It's not about me. It's about who he is. It's about the one, like as Jesus said, the one who sent me. We have to do the work of the one who sent me. We've got to do his work. We've got to make God famous. I'm going to end here by asking us this one question. Something for us to think about throughout this week. How can we make God famous? How can we glorify him in the circumstances that we are in? Perhaps for some of us, the circumstance that we are struggling with has not changed for a long time. Maybe it's been months, maybe it's been years that we are in this circumstance. And we have been asking a lot of questions. Why this? Why that? Why God? But I want to challenge us today to say, hey, could we ask this question? How can we glorify God? And together as a united front, a church, a body of Christ, say there is an urgency to just respond, to do what God has placed before us. Glorify Him while it is still day. And then after that, when night comes, that's when you rest. Joshua told the Israelites, this is what we have to do. God has given us rest. In fact, if you read on in chapter 21, once they have conquered, that word appears again. Once they have conquered the land, God says, this is the rest that I've promised you. God never lets down on His promise. He always fulfills His promise. But there is a season, there is a timing. And when we think this year as a year of discipleship, there is an urgency. As we look at the Great Commission again, there is an urgency to say, yes, Lord, I will go and make disciples. An urgency. Yes, Lord, we will support one another, be united in this front of going and making disciples. We will not say, oh, that's the sports ministry, I'll let them just go and do whatever they need to do. That's, you know, whatever other ministry, let's go and go and, oh, that's so and so, let him go and do it. But together, how can we be united, supporting one another? How can we together see that urgency in whatever situation that we are in? Say, God, I choose to glorify You. Jesus. Let's bow our heads right now. Thank You, Lord. Would you say a prayer right now to the Lord and say, God, this is the situation that I'm in. This situation is the one that's bugging me. This particular one. Maybe you have two or more, but just bring one before the Lord right now. This particular situation. Something needs to be done. There needs to be a united front. There needs to be an urgency to glorify God. And say this prayer, Lord, help me see the opportunity. Lord, help me see the opportunity to glorify You. Help me see it. And then, after that prayer, say, tell the Lord, Lord, give me the boldness and the courage. Just as You have challenged Joshua. And in fact, the Israelites, you know, repeated that. God said it, the Israelites said it, Joshua said it. It was a united front. Just be strong and courageous. Ask the Lord right now, Lord, how can I be strong and courageous in this situation, giving You glory? Teach me, Lord, to be bold. As You show me opportunity. Father, may Your Holy Spirit come right now and bless us, speak to us, open our hearts, minister to us, Lord, right now. As we look to You, desiring, Lord, to make You famous. We want to make You famous, God. We want to glorify You. Help us to see
those opportunities that you place in our lives daily. Help us, Lord, to be bold, strong and courageous. Help us, Lord, to move in a united front, not ashamed, to see the urgency of what is done. To be able to work while it is still day. We submit ourselves to you. Minister to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.